This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, Big Z here. Oh man, we got quite a podcast here. We're 9 days out from the NFL draft on April 27th. So we're just going to be talking a lot of draft stuff on this podcast, you know, as we do this time of year. Who are we targeting? What's the mock drafts looking like from some of the top guys? The Jeff Okuda trade, we haven't reacted to that on the podcast yet, so sorry for the delayed response to that. But, you know, it wasn't really impactful, so... But we're going to be talking a lot of draft stuff on here. It's kind of just a free-for-all. Really just kind of talking about top prospects, what we think might happen, the rumor mill, all that good stuff. And then next week, we have our final mock draft coming out on Monday or Tuesday. So be prepared for that. We'll let that soak in for a few days. And then live stream Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid on YouTube. We'll be doing a live stream of the round one. The Lions have two picks. So there's going to be a lot to look forward to that night, unless they trade both of them for a top five pick. That's also a possibility. Then it makes it a shorter night. But, you know, we still have a lot of fun. We drink a lot of Kool-Aid. And I think we'll have a big reward for our listeners. We'll have one winner, possibly winning a gift card. So stay tuned to that. So stay tuned to Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. For more information on that, coming very, very soon. But right now, we're going to just, you know, free-for-all, draft talk, and then our final mock draft early next week. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Sit back, relax, grab your Kool-Aid. It's time for the pod. Blue Kool-Aid drinkers, we are back, baby. We are back. We are recording on April 18th. It's the end of tech season and also the beginning of the end of draft season. We are 9 days out. That's right. We have a lot to talk about in this episode, and then we'll have our final mock draft next week. The final mock draft, always a really fun episode. But as I mentioned, it's 9 days out from the draft. We're going to talk everything kind of around the draft, but also a big move the Lions made. A few moves, actually, that we're going to respond to on this podcast. But before we get into all that, let's introduce crew that is here. So I'm Big Z, and then we got one other one right here right now. We got Red Dog.
Yo!
And then Bob might be joining us a little bit later. TBD on that. We have yet to react to it. Sorry, we're a little bit delayed on our response to this, listeners. But nonetheless, Jeff Okuda, the third overall pick in the Bob Quinn era, the Quintricia era, rather, I should say. Gets traded for a fifth rounder to the Atlanta Falcons. Run Dog.
Holy smokes.
As a guy that we're rooting for, you know, he worked hard. You can't blame his effort, I don't think. It just didn't work out. And this might just be the best of both worlds. Because he seemed to kind of fall in and out of favor with this coaching staff. I don't know if it's just no fault of his own. It's just, you know, the injuries just caught up to him a little bit, or maybe the scheme didn't work out. I'm not sure, but your reaction to the trade?
It hurts to basically burn a third overall draft pick. That's pretty painful. But yeah, like you said, it was just the best for both at this point. Because the thing is, the big question is what happened at the end of last year, like. Well, I think it was the Panthers game. It went like that. He was like trending up, and then he just missed that first tackle off the edge to start the game and was not the same the rest of the season. Lost his starting position, like just disappeared. I don't know if he got hurt or what, but like, damn, like to be that left that much of an unknown at this stage in his contract when we still owed him, we'd be paying what, like 10 this year, another 11 if we took on his fifth year. And then if he does do good next year, and then we've developed him to just, what, fight for him in free agency. it just made too much sense to. I mean, that's the other thing. Like, we don't need a developmental guy who might be gone in a year. We need young developmental guys because we just signed all this talent in free agency. So, yeah, it sucks. I never really liked the pick, but the player always seemed like a solid dude. He put it, like you said, he put in the effort, and it just didn't work out. He should have never been the third overall pick, in my opinion, but, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it was a tough year. I mean, how would you have felt if the Lions only went Justin Herbert that year, for instance, rather than Okuda? Is there someone that you wish in that draft the Lions took?
I mean, yeah, that would have taken some foresight or whatever like that. That didn't really. I mean, it just didn't even matter. Herbert. Why would we have drafted Herbert at the time? I'm actually fine with Goff now. I mean, maybe Herbert has a little more upside, but I think Goff is on his tier.
So this is this is who went in that. I'll just list the top 10 for this draft. Burrow, Chase Young. Tough beat for the Lions. You know, not getting Chase Young. I still am high on him. He's had some injury issues, but he's been relatively good one. But anyways, after that, Andrew Thomas, who's played, he's gotten better over his time in New York. Then Tua went to the Dolphins.
Well, give me the guys after us.
That's what I'm doing. I'm listening.
Give me the pick.
It went Burrow, Chase Young, then Okuda, Andrew Thomas, then Tua.
Joe Burrow?
Joe Burrow went number one overall in this draft.
That's what I thought you said, You said Burrow. I'm sorry, I missed
Joe something. Burrow went number one in this draft. I don't know how else to say
it. I'm not hearing you real good. Okay, yes.
Chase Young, number two. Jeff Okuda, number three. Andrew Thomas, four. The offensive tackle for the Giants. Tua Tagovailoa, the quarterback for the Dolphins. Number six was Justin Herbert. Number seven, Derek Brown, who's been fairly decent for the Panthers. The Lions could be.
I would have drafted him at the time over Okuda.
And I think there was a lot of debate internally with the Lions about Brown versus Okuda. I think
he made.
What was that?
Yeah, he just made more sense to me, like positional value. And I didn't think Okuda was worthy of a top three pick. So it just.
I think Patricia. It seemed like Patricia wanted Brown too, from the reports at the time. But Quinn kind of overruled him.
Something I agree with Patricia
on. And then number eight was Isaiah Simmons, a guy you and UJ were really high on.
I would have taken Simmons. I think he had more upside.
A guy that still is kind of still trying to find his stride in the NFL, but he's definitely a flashy player. And then CJ Henderson, who hasn't really panned out for the Jaguars, and then Jedrick Wills for the Browns, who's had a decent career. Some other notables that went after him: Justin Jefferson went at 22 to the Vikings, CeeDee Lamb at 17 to the Cowboys.
Might have kept Stafford around if you picked up Justin Jefferson.
Yeah.
That would have been worth a three over pick. Well, I mean, my idea of receivers has evolved because of one guy named Ja'Marr Chase. Like, I honestly thought that was like kind of a reach at the time, but then when I saw what he did to that team, I can't help but argue, you know, can't help but see that top end receivers are very, very useful.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks is like, I think that's a moot point because you weren't going to draft another quarterback that high when you had Stafford already good to go, and then. Like, you know, you didn't know you were going to suck so bad. Everything was going to get blown up that season, you know.
Right.
Like, I don't think you would have drafted a quarterback then, not that high. And then as it worked out, we got Goff in the swap anyway. So, you know, it's just fine. But, yeah, D-tackle. I mean, you can't go wrong with a high-end interior or just front seven guy, pass rusher, run stuffer.
Right.
So that would have been my pick then. Isaiah Simmons was my favorite player, but I think you would have to have a vision to make him be your pick there, and I probably could have used him. I think you could do so much with a dude like that.
The best cornerback in this draft ended up probably being either Trayvon Diggs or A.J. Terrell. Trayvon Diggs has had an up-and-down career. A.J. Terrell is the number one cornerback. And now, so really, the Falcons get the top two cornerbacks from this draft in Okuda and Terrell.
Well, top two rated coming out.
Yeah, top two rated coming out. Yep.
Yeah.
But
I mean, they might get something out of Okuda. I'm not convinced he's done. I think it was just a time to part ways with him for us, unfortunately. Yeah. But it wouldn't surprise me if he went did okay over there.
Let's but now shift into the conversation a little bit. So we have this trade. Does this impact their draft strategy at all? I would say no. I mean, they've already addressed the cornerback and free agency largely, at least for looking for a starter. Now it comes with some, you know, risk, especially with like a guy like Mosley, who has had a lot of injuries last year with the ACL that made him miss most of the season. But I shouldn't stop him from drafting a highly touted cornerback if that's what they are targeting in this draft.
Well, I don't think it would stop them. Yeah. Certainly not.
I mean, in your opinion now, I mean, we're 9 days out, like I mentioned, from the draft. Witherspoon and Gonzalez, do you think they are worthy of a number six overall pick? It's tough.
It's hard. They're it's not. Tough. I mean, what's his face? Gonzalez just profiles on the edge of where I would want a cornerback at the top 10. Like, he has borderline elite traits. He's tall, he's fast, very fluid athlete. But like, at the same time, it's still not like he's putting out like Patrick Peterson, you know, 4.32 speed. Uh-huh. It's 4.39 speed, which is very good. But like, it's just like at that range when you're going to have, you know, one of Tyree Wilson, Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, Kalijah Kansi. I know Kalijah Kansi seems to fall in a lot of people's drafts, but I'm not convinced he's out of the question here because I think he's just simply too explosive of an athlete inside where that's so valuable. I mean, look what who was it? Who went really high a year ago or a year or two ago because – largely because of his Aaron Donald comps. Dude, to the Bills, I want to say. James, it's like Houston, maybe? Or
Ed Oliver?
Ed Oliver, that's it. Thank you. Yeah, I thought, like, he's that interior, super explosive, speedy. I mean, he ran, like, a 4.75, I want to say, coming out. Like, he had some pretty, like, freaky traits. And he went, like, top 10, I believe. He might be a little bigger. But still, the point is, these super explosive interior guys. I know the Aaron Donald comps are extreme, but he still profiles in that athletic range. I mean, it's not like he doesn't have the production. Just, anyway, I just don't see him falling. But anyway, all those guys available there, and you're going to pass on one of them for either Gonzalez, who borderline elite, or Witherspoon, who honestly doesn't profile at all in that range for me. He's shorter than I would like to be ideal. He's small. He's not well built for the, like, I think he's just gonna deal with injuries throughout his career, because the best part of what he brings is what's gonna get him hurt, because he's a freaking missile out there. Mm-hmm. You know, I really respect his film in college. It's absolutely outstanding. And if it was just on film, I'd take Witherspoon at there and I'd feel comfortable about it, but you got to project to the NFL here. We don't know how fast he really is because he couldn't run. Unless he ran at the pro day. Did I see that? I think I might.
Ooh, Witherspoon? Witherspoon 4.47.
Yeah. Oh God. Like that's fine. But for a top 10 pick cornerback. No, I'm sorry. I just can't get my head around it. Like, especially cause I he's small, like, for what you want there, ideally. And you got to go for, to me, if
4.42, sorry, 4.42.
Solid. Like, that's fine. That's effective. I would like him at 18. I'd be much easier to swallow. But top 10, you're looking for prototypical players. You're looking for people who have extreme traits that can offer extreme upside.
Yep.
And I just don't see that in him.
I you know,
except for maybe his instinct.
We'll do our top prospects and stuff like that, the draft night, and you know, probably in our mock drafts we'll list it out. But I do have Gonzalez above Witherspoon if we were to take one at six. But are either of them like the Stingleys, the Sauce Gardner type?
I don't see it.
I don't either. As much as But I do have Gonzalez over him.
Gonzalez,
but I just don't see him as good as Stingley or Sauce Gardner, who went in the kind of this range, although they were top five, six.
He's the closest thing to a prototype at cornerback. Tall, he's fast,
yeah,
fluid.
Something like Joey Porter in that regard.
Joey Porter offers some unique traits that, oof. I still think he might be the dark horse to be the best in this class because he's so freaky looking. Mm-hmm. He's got those long ass arms. His speed is fine. He's got good height. Like, he's got great pedigree. At 18, he'd be great. I don't know about pulling the trigger on him at six. Definitely, I'd say I definitely don't want to do that. But I am very intrigued by what he brings. I think he'll be a very sticky, hard to get escape cornerback.
Yeah, absolutely. The Lions have had some interesting visits to their facilities. I wanted to go over some of these guys, see if, you know, do you take any stock in the guys that visit the Lions, or not really in these visits? It's probably just the Lions doing their homework, right?
Yeah, I mean, to an extent, you're obviously gonna, you know, go after the guys you're interested in, though. So, I mean, it does highlight maybe a little bit. The things I'd be intrigued in looking at are the ones that you don't quite expect. Like, everything that's in that top 30, you know, I got to look it up unless you know. There was a name I saw recently. It's like a cornerback I'd never heard of that the Lions had visit. And I was like, oh, that's really interesting.
Was it?
Who was it?
Well, why are you thinking of? I'm not even sure what you're contemplating, but
it was like someone I hadn't heard of. They just visited the Lions recently, and
I mean, the Lions have had a lot of visits. So
yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, but the top 30, you would think would be guys that are going to be your first round look at, right? Your big investment pick.
It's your top 30, right? If you're the Lions, you have 30 of them. So
that's true.
Stroud, Hendon Hooker visited. A possible day two quarterback that they're looking at. Adrian Martinez, the quarterback out of Kansas State. Keaton Mitchell, Darnell Washington, tight end that we all like on this podcast. Excuse me, Osiris Torrance, another guard that we some of us had in our mock when we did one of our two mock drafts. Jalen Carter visited recently. Siaki Ika, the nose tackle. Will Anderson visited. Along those, Drew Sanders, the linebacker, a guy that was mocked today in Mel Kiper and Todd McShay's combined mock drafts, going to us in the second round. So Daniel Scott, the safety. So there's a lot of possibilities out there.
Daniel Scott, maybe that's, I never heard of him.
Safety out of Cal, yep. That's definitely a day two target.
And didn't we invite like a Illinois corner?
Yeah, Quan Martin, the DB.
I found those kind of intriguing.
He's the other cornerback.
That's highlights far more than Jalen Carter, Will Anderson, like all those top guys, because those are just the obvious guys you got to do your diligence on when you're drafting in that range.
Right.
But these ones are, I find, a little more enlightening, perhaps. Drew Sanders is intriguing, I think, because at least tells us they're looking at a linebacker, but it also might tell us what they favor in their linebackers, too, because of the way he was used as a pass rushing guy.
Absolutely. Drew Sanders, I like a lot. I mean, so mentioning that mock draft from Kiper and McShay, so in this mock draft, if you haven't looked at it, go on ESPN, but Kiper and McShay each took a turn, like, basically doing a live mock draft where they switched off every pick, picking for each team. I think Kiper went first and McShay, then Kiper and then McShay, back and forth. Anyways, in this mock draft, the Lions ended up with, I just had it down home. It's on one of my tabs.
It started with Tyree Wilson.
Tyree Wilson, thank you, at number six. Then Kalijah Kansi at 18.
Oh, my god.
And then in the second round, they grabbed Jahmyr Gibbs and Drew Sanders. And then in the third round, they end up with Luke Schoonmaker, the tight end out of Michigan.
If it fell this way, I would be one happy, happy boy on draft day. I don't think Kalijah Kansi is going to be there at 18. I don't think Drew Sanders is going to be there at 48. and or was it 48 or the?
I think Drew Sanders is possible. Can't see. You know, it all depends on how much they value or devalue that the size of him.
Yeah,
and also the need of some of these teams. I mean, even at number six, Tyree Wilson. There's a lot of rumors out there. I've seen him go both ways. It's gonna be fascinating on draft night because I've seen a lot of conversation about the Texans maybe not even drafting a quarterback at number two and instead going with one of the top defensive players and then grabbing a quarterback maybe at number 12 or trading up from 12 and maybe grabbing a quarterback at like four or five.
That's a weird strategy.
But then I've seen it the other way where they do take the quarterback at two and then at number three, the Cardinals trade out. And like a team like the Titans goes up and grabs a quarterback or the Colts. Or I'm sorry. Yeah. A team like the Titans moves from the middle of the draft up to number three to grab a quarterback. And then number four, the Colts grab a quarterback. So basically the top four picks have a quarterback. And then that would leave the Lions with either Jalen Carter or Will Anderson in number six. So that'd be a great scenario to be in.
Yeah.
That's why I'm hoping we see the ladder movement where all these teams are trading up for the quarterbacks and the quarterbacks going to top four, which has never happened.
Well, I think there's no doubt that serves us best. I don't think we're targeting quarterback at six by any means.
Nope. But some mock drafts out there still have us, you know, going for Anthony Richardson. Even some mock drafts out there have us trading up to number three for Anthony Richardson.
No, thank you. Like, here's the thing. If we could draft him where his like film tape should put him in the draft, like if he like fell to like 18, then I'd consider it. Like, it'd be more like the second round, honestly. But like, he is so much projected upside. It's just like painful. Like, he's got to learn so much and grow so much to become an effective NFL quarterback because he wasn't even an effective college quarterback. I like the upside, but I just don't like that at that range when you can get something.
Well, Josh Allen is doing a lot of help for Will Levis and Anthony Richardson's stock because Josh Allen was not an all-star, a rock star quarterback in college by any means, but he had the measurables that these NFL scouts just drool over. And all these coaches in the NFL think, I can fix this guy if you give him to me. They're stubborn.
Yeah.
And Josh Allen's case has worked out really well.
You can't argue with that, but like at the same time, it's like his stats aren't even like comparable to those guys. Like, as far as I know, like they all perform, like all the examples out there that people look to, like Mahomes or people who fell for questionable reasons, they all had way better college careers than Anthony Richardson. Like, even Malik Willis last year was a more impressive, like, in terms of just actual production. Like, I don't know. Like, I just don't see it. But I mean, hey, the upside is tantalizing. I can't deny that. It's as high as anybody's. It's just that, like, he's the ultimate boomer bust prospect.
Absolutely. I mean, part of the question for the Lions is, you know, it was an interesting argument I heard on, I think, the Athletic Football Show, where they brought up like the Chiefs, that the Chiefs were making the playoffs and they were a competitive team with Alex Smith at the helm for a couple of years. But nonetheless, they still traded up for Patrick Mahomes and took the next step to a perennial Super Bowl contender every year. Do you think the Lions are in a similar situation in this regard?
Not yet. I think like,
is Jared Goff an Alex Smith type level where he's not gonna, you know, push you to the elite level, but is serviceable enough to like win a fair amount of games, get to the playoffs, maybe not take you to the top?
I think Goff has more upside.
Mm-hmm.
I think Goff is a better quarterback than Alex Smith. I think there's a reason he went number one overall. And actually, when I watch his film and when he does mess up, it seems to be more like decisions. Like, he can put the ball almost anywhere he wants to, it seems. But like, that's why last year when he missed the Bills throw, like, that was, I don't think that's because he couldn't make the throws, just because he made a bad decision and went on how he put the ball out there. I'm just saying, I think Goff is a very good quarterback and he's growing and could really flourish in this scheme. But that being said, I also don't, I'm not sure the team is at the same stage that it was for, like, yet. I don't know, like, maybe one more year of adding more foundational starting talent to this roster, and then I would feel like now we're closer to that. I think the Chiefs were closer when they grabbed Mahomes, I feel like. But maybe I'm wrong. I just don't, I don't know. I don't feel it this year. But that's the best argument. But if we were going to do that, my guy would be Stroud. I think he's the best, my favorite prospect at quarterback in this draft. I think he's got all the tools you want out of quarterback. He's got the, he has that, like, he's already very polished, very, like, cerebral guy. He's a passing quarterback first. I like that people are like, oh, he's limiting his ability because he's not using his legs. Like, yes, yes, that's what I want. We can bring, you know, we'll get him to use his legs when he needs to, but he's a.
Well, he showed passer. In the game against Georgia, he can use him when he wants to.
Right. So, like, to me, he's the guy. Like, he's got the speed, he's got the arm. His quarterback comparison is Goff. He'd be like Goff 2.0, Goff with legs. yeah. I would, that's the guy I'd want if you're going to pull this scenario off. If you're going for a guy, or, like, even hell, fuck, I'd take the kid from Bama over a guy like Richardson or someone who's at least proven something.
But I mean, Bryce Young is intriguing. I mean, if you go watch his tape, it's like he makes some great throws too. It's just it really comes down to size for him. That's really the only negative you can find about Bryce Young.
And that's the thing. Like, at least he's shown he is a good quarterback. Like,
he has great pocket presence. He has great pocket presence. It's a really a tough choice for these two teams. I've gone back and forth as well on who I think is top quarterback because. I thought it for sure it'd be Stroud, but then you go watch the tape a little bit with Bryce Young. It's like, oh, I don't know now. I mean, they didn't really lose games at Alabama because Bryce Young was playing. Their defense was bad this past year. In both games they lost, I mean, he scored 30 points. But, yeah, that's a tough
one.
I'd
feel better with either.
I'd
feel better with Levis over over
Richardson?
Richardson. I mean, I'm just saying, like,
I'm not.
And you're drafting in the top bucket, because they're probably trading up to get one of these guys. You're drafting in the top five. Like, I want a guy who's at least shown he can play the position. So far, Anthony Richardson looks like a linebacker who plays, who can run really fast and can also chuck the ball. Like, he pulls off some ridiculous plays occasionally, but it's like, it's all flashes. He has no consistency in his game.
Yeah.
I mean, the one benefit that is at least he started learning how to process a pro style offense in college. So at least he has a beginnings of that. I just can't do it. Like, not with that high. You got to at least have some idea of what you're doing. But he's also killed the interviews. You know, he seems very sharp and not ready to go and learn and has good energy about him. So that speed, that power, we could always make him play linebacker if he fails at quarterback.
Yeah.
but
yeah,
this is how I feel right now.
They did have Gibbs going to Lions in the second round.
That's it, Gibbs.
I mean, if that happened, that'd be amazing. I don't think he's gonna fall
that might
that
be my
far,
favorite though. Pick in that.
I'd be shocked.
Dude,
I kind of
you weren't here last pod, I talked about this. Like, I value him in ways perhaps almost higher than Bijan.
I was here last pod. Yeah, I remember talking about him.
Were you there?
Yeah, but I didn't.
My bad. Anyway, I think he offers something Bijan will not offer at the next level. 4.46 speed is just not a home run hitting speed. I think he's going to be like an upgraded David Montgomery. He's going to be a bit faster. But he's like very similar back, very elusive, very tough to take down, like breaks a lot of tackles. It's not a bad thing. Don't get me wrong, but we got David Montgomery on the roster. What if we add another guy who offers that home run hitter speed at every time he touches the ball? And Jahmyr Gibbs is more than just a speedster, man. He's very dynamic back. I think we could move on from what Swift offers, you know, easy enough next year. We got David Montgomery on a long-term contract, so we don't need another powerful internal back. We need that home run hitter. Plus, you could use him like a freaking receiver and stuff. You could use him all over. Gibbs would probably, a weapon.
Gibbs would definitely primarily be a receiving back, I think, in our offense. That's what he's. That's what he's
known
for.
I think he
can
do it all, but yeah.
And he's an elite. He's an elite. I mean, he's the top receiving running back in this draft, and he probably.
But that's not all he is.
He fills the Swift void.
Yes, exactly.
When Swift is gone next year, because I don't think
between the tackles,
I'd be shocked if Swift came back next year. I don't think the Lions are going to want to pay him, even if he has a great season.
I just think about like the Chiefs, and what do they always do? They just add a shit ton of super speedy weapons for Mahomes all the time.
The Chiefs just get by at running back. Although,
but all their like, I don't know, man. This kid is he's a special weapon, and I know
absolutely.
Bijan's a better player all around, but this kid, I think he's going to be, he could be just as dynamic and just as deadly, if not more so, in the league.
Than Bijan?
Yeah. I mean, I see Bijan breaking a lot of plays, but I also see him, his runs, you know, being frustratingly cut short because he doesn't have that long speed. I mean, he's got good speed, but he doesn't have that elite speed. And that's what you're going to get with Jahmyr Gibbs. And he's not just speed. He's got good vision, good cutting, and all that.
All right, yeah. I mean, I agree with you about Gibbs. I think he'd be a great fit for the Lions offense. Will they take him in the first round? I highly doubt it. If he somehow falls to them in the second round, I do think they will grab him. But do I think he will fall to them? No, I do not.
See, that was, we got him at 48 in that draft, yes. And then we got Drew Sanders later. I think we got him in like the third, I think, or at least our second.
Drew Sanders, yeah, the second round pick.
Mm-hmm. I don't see him falling that far. I just don't. Too special of an athlete, and he's a big linebacker. Guys like him don't come around very often. I mean, I know he's not a super polished like linebacker yet because of his limited time at the position and doing like rush end stuff, but that versatility, you know. Versatility, like that probably is why the Lions invited him. If he falls that far, I will be so psyched. In this whole draft, if it pans out this way, it's going to be one happy, happy day.
So what do you think the odds of the Lions draft trading up in this draft? Even at number three, what if it's not even four quarterback? What if they just fall in love with Will Anderson so much?
Well, actually, here's a...
Because you can argue
I've been toying with.
Okay.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I was gonna just before you get to it. I'm the only argument I've heard is like if the Lions are ever to trade up into the top five, now would be the time to do it because they have that extra draft capital to do so this year because they don't have that in the future unless they trade back from six, which could be a possibility if and none of the top guys fall them at six. They don't like any of the cornerbacks or anything. It is possible. But
sure.
There is
they love
you know,
a quarterback.
A lot of the buzz just with the Lions trading up is around the fact that they have a lot of draft capital ammunition to move up this year. And in regards to drafting the quarterback, if they're ever going to do it this is year because you have the draft capital to do so, and there's a lot of top prospects. But it all depends on how the scouting department rates these guys. And unfortunately, we'll never know those details.
Also, so you cool. got to consider we have a very good starting quarterback already on the roster for 2 years.
Yep.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But go on with what you're going to say.
I was going to say, I heard a rumor that the Lions are falling in love with Tyree Wilson.
I've read that as well, yes. But a lot of rumors fly around this time of year.
But like some things intrigued me because I've been watching a lot of like film breakdowns on YouTube and stuff. And Will Anderson is a stud, right?
Yeah.
But Will Anderson is also not an absolute monster. Not the way, like the video I watched compared him to Jalen Carter, and like they showed some of the moves that Jalen Carter can do. But like I don't know why they compared it, but like. It was just, I think I watched it, or it doesn't matter. The point is, like, size, mass, strength. There's certain things that Will Anderson just doesn't bring to the table. Uh-huh. He's not a huge edge. He's a small edge. And I wonder if maybe Tyree Wilson is secretly like ahead of him. Like it could be like last year with like Trayvon Walker going ahead of Hutchinson, where they just, people like the freakiness over the steadfast reliability, you know? I just have a weird feeling that Tyree Wilson might even go be the first D lineman taken off the board. And that would be, if we trade up for whoever the guy we like, it wouldn't be surprised if it's Tyree Wilson we trade up for.
Yeah.
But I don't see us trading up.
And Rud Dog, Bob has joined. I told you at the beginning of the podcast he might join. He's hopping in here half an hour in.
A little late to the party, but I'm here.
Bob, we're just going to fire right at you. Do you think the Lions have, is there any possibility they trade up into the top five, most likely that number three spot, either for a quarterback or Will Anderson, or do you say zero chance? What do you say?
I don't think they will. I mean, I know that is a possibility, especially this year, like you're saying, with the capital that we have. And I personally wouldn't trade up for either one, for Will Anderson, unless I like Bryce Young out of the quarterbacks, but he's looks like he's going number one overall from what all I've seen. And I don't.
Yeah, it's crazy how that everybody thought Stroud at first after that trade, and then the past couple of weeks it seems to be going Bryce Young's way.
Could be a smoke.
Yeah, I just like, I think where they are right now with the Lions, where we're like poised to win, we can build some depth, get this future going. I don't want to give up any picks this year, or even next year's first or something to go. I think we can get a good player at six where we are. But trading back, I wouldn't mind, you know, if we got a little, if we didn't go too far back, but I'm guessing we'll end up at six. So
yeah, I agree. Yeah. And again, I'm Z, all for building the D line.
Yeah.
Z, I wanted to address the aspect of having capital to trade up to as an argument for that, because yeah. I don't necessarily think, here's the thing, we're still building the foundation of this team. And the way Brad Holmes operates, I don't think we're going to have a problem if the day comes and we want to move up to get where we want to go. I think he's going to have capital every year. I don't think he's, you know, and you don't need, the more you build in the process, the more your foundation is built up, the less draft picks you need. You know, like this year already, I doubt like half these guys are going to start. We might get like two or three starters this year, whereas like last year it was like our whole draft class contribution, but you can only draft starters so consistently before you got a full starting lineup, and then what are you adding to? Just depth at that point, where that's where, like, you know, we don't need nine draft picks in 2 years when our roster is really beefed up. We'll be able to move capital around, I think, then whenever the time they just deem target their quarterback or whatever. I don't think we need to do it this year.
Yeah, and I personally think too that I don't think we're gonna draft a quarterback, but I think the fact that they haven't tried to renegotiate with Goff and extend him before the draft, I think they want to make people think that we might draft a quarterback. And probably right after the draft, they'll probably start having talks with them. That's my prediction.
Prediction. Interesting.
You know,
prediction from Bob.
You know, like they did Ragnar, like right after the draft, they signed him to the extension. So I think they could might do that with Goff too, because they haven't even talked to him yet about it. So.
I mean, he has two years left.
Yeah.
So there's no rush.
Yeah, but, well, I think there's a rush in the sense, if they believe in him, you can get him relatively cheap because it goes up and up every year, the price.
Yeah, that's fair.
Right.
Also, if they do it this year, they can peel back some more salary cap money. Although, they might want to front load it so they have more in the future.
Yeah.
So it all depends. If they want to re-sign him, it'll be... If they draft a quarterback, though, that could all go out the window as well.
If we could draft him, well, the Harris actually, I'd feel better if he was on a longer term contract, actually, to draft a quarterback, if that sounds weird. Like, if Goff was on like a 3 or 4 year, 5 year deal, because then, especially like with what you brought up with Richardson, I think that guy's just going to need some time. I don't think he's going to be ready for years.
I think
in this league. And that's the thing, like, is 2 years even enough? I don't think 2 years is necessarily enough. Maybe like 3 years down the road, you know, 3-4 years down the road, we're finally.
Well, 3-4 would be a long. I mean, you get a guy in the first round, you only have so much time while he's on the rookie contract. And the most valuable thing in the NFL these days is a rookie and a a quarterback contract because it's so cheap and you can build around that contract.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because then you're spending 15-20% of your salary cap on one player going forward.
That's so interesting. But that's, I've heard that used a lot more, and not just for quarterbacks. Like, everyone talks about, like, if you want, like, moving into the end of the first round and stuff, if like to make picks just so you get that fifth year option and stuff. But yeah, it makes sense. Get them longer, cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bob, since you're on here really quick, and we didn't get your reaction earlier, just really quick, your CUDA trade reaction. You, you know, you fine with it?
I'm okay with it.
And does it impact the draft?
I wish the guy well. You know, I think they like him as a person, but I think he's more of a project. They kind of got to see his ceiling, and then he kind of dropped back off of it. So, you know, he might excel in Atlanta, but even so, I think it's probably good that the Lions move down with him, because I think they got all these new guys coming in, and I think they're just going to reshape the whole thing in their image, you know, with the new regime.
Not to mention all that money.
Yeah, the money.
Yeah,
the money makes sense. It just makes sense for him. You know, it's too bad it didn't work out, and because I like the guy, but. I think it was time to move on.
I think this is an example of when you draft the wrong guy at high in the first round, where like now, like we could realistically have held on to him for another year to develop him and maybe then sign him. But like when you're already making $10 million for just because they liked you enough to pick you at three, it just makes you very cost prohibitive to develop with that potential that you're going to be gone in a year anyway. Not to mention, you know, unique to Jeff because he was injured all that early part of his career. But
yeah.
That heavy rookie contract.
The injury really did him in the weight with the Lions, I think, because it set him back. And the Lions don't have the patience right now with what they're doing. So
did that just highlight another good distinction of why Dan Campbell and Brad Holmes are all so much better than Quinn Trisha? Because like how they handled Jameson Williams coming in versus how they handled Okuda. Like, they forced Okuda into action. He should have been treated with hand or kid gloves until he was ready to go, but they pushed him out there because they were they were fighting for their jobs and stuff. Well, then you don't draft a cornerback at three if you need to win now, you dopes.
Yeah, that's a good point. The way they handled him was probably didn't do well for him. But, yeah.
A couple of the newsworthy things, just around the draft, at least, from mock drafts. You know, I mentioned Todd McShay and Mel Kiper had Kansas going to Lions at 18. Also, Dane Brugler of The Athletic, who's one of the premier mock drafters out there, also had Lions getting Kansas at 18. So
I just don't see it happen.
You don't think he falls 18, Red Dog?
I just don't.
He's going to fall somewhere in that range.
His upside is too tantalizing. He's faster. He'll be the fastest D tackle in the NFL the second he steps on the field. I'm just sorry, like and it's not like that's all he is. He's got so much in his toolbox already. He's a proven talent in college. I don't see it. Like,
well, he's small, like, though. So that, I mean, there's a reason he's fast. He's small.
Yeah.
Yeah, but so is Aaron Donald. I mean, what? I don't. That doesn't,
it'd be like having Willow playing lineman for the Lions. You know,
he's still 281 pounds, and he'll build muscle onto that. Like. I'm sorry, that's just too much. His speed will be an absolute pain in the ass for every team to handle in the league, because you know what? When you're 6'3", 330 pounds, it's a little hard to, you know, try to catch that smoke. he's gonna be effective in the league. I just don't see how he's not with his skill set.
I mean,
how good he actually is will be.
You can't just go out there saying he's Aaron Donald 2.0, though.
Yeah. So.
I don't think he's necessarily Aaron Donald 2.0 or anything. I'm not even saying he's an upgrade over Aaron Donald. I'm just saying he has the same kind of upside because he has the same kind of physical traits that Aaron Donald had coming out. Like, we've seen what a guy at that size and that speed can do in this league, and it just happens to be maybe the best player ever. And I'm not saying he's going to become that, but if he's even half of that, that's going to be worth a shit ton. I'm just saying. I don't know.
I mean, you can't go just off of those measurables. I mean, I think what he does on the field is going to be
very
more important.
Productive on a shitty pit team.
Because there's been plenty of like guys who win the combine who suck in the NFL when they on the way out there.
But we were talking about him before the combine.
No, I'm not saying he's going to be terrible. I just, you know, I think he's going to fall around that area, though. I don't see him going at six or something.
I don't see him going to 18. That's so far.
All right, so what's the lowest he goes? What's your prediction? Give us a prediction. Come on.
He's going to go top 10.
Top 10? Wow. I don't see that.
I think he's arguably one. He's one of like the top four D linemen in this whole draft. I just don't see how he falls to 18.
So what if we do get him at six and Jalen Carter free falls? Do you get him at 18? You know.
Oh God,
that'd be great.
Well, I mean, I'd feel much better about him at 18 than I would at six.
I mean, I would take him at six, but I know I'm in the minority on this group.
I would take Carter at six.
Yeah. Oh, okay, I didn't.
It's not that I wouldn't. I just need to be in these interviews to know if I would or not. Like, he's at the point where he's destroyed his public image so thoroughly that, from an outside looking in, I just can't see past the question marks. I mean, he showed up as a fat slob to his job interview, basically. I mean, like, what is Dan Campbell's like one rule? Like, show up in time on shape, or in shape on time, whatever. Like, and he shows up to like maybe one of the most important days of his life, out of shape, can't even finish the drills.
His pro day.
I don't know. It just seems very, very bad look on a guy who was already dealing with stuff that, you know, you'd rather not have your guy you're about to give millions of dollars dealing with. And
the other argument
it's just
is
a really
though,
bad look. So without getting to know the man personally, I couldn't pull the trigger.
But the argument,
the talent on film is great, though.
The argument for the Lions is that they have the coaching staff in place to get the most out of him.
Yeah, but like, how many? Like, you can only get away with so many, you know, bad eggs or whatever. I'm not saying you couldn't, but like, you already start to chip away at your culture. Like, you risk chipping away at your culture if you add someone who doesn't mesh with it. I'm not saying you can't. He might fit in like perfectly. He might take all the tutorship of the vets and get his act together and be a great pro. I just don't have enough knowledge of this man.
So based on that, Red Dog, if they take him at six, you're way on board, right? Because they had the interview with them. They've kicked the tires.
Oh, yeah. I trust Brad and Dan. Right. Absolutely. Oh, God. I'll be so psyched if we pull the trigger because that means they checked out.
Yeah, I'm with you. If I'm not with you, I'm with the terrorists. So. No.
All right. And then the other one I saw, you know, Drew Sanders I've seen, but also Jack Campbell, Red Dog, I've seen in the second round there. A very popular line targeting a second round linebacker in this draft.
Yeah, I think Jack will. I don't know. I could see him going in the first round, but I could see him falling too. He has such an interesting skill set. He's so massive, but he's very explosive, very strong. I love the guy. I wouldn't be mad at 18 with him, but I don't think it's going to happen. And I think he qualifies as a first round skill set, but there's a lot of talent in this draft, so I wouldn't be surprised if he falls.
Yeah, there's not a lot of premier talent, but there's a lot of those guys that fall with anywhere between like 10 and 40, like 48 really, or 60. I don't know, like the gap is smaller, I guess, from a guy like from Bryce Young instance, but like after even like Christian Gonzalez, like down, I don't know. It just seems like there's a smaller gap between skill set, like impact, I guess, versus like the top guys, like a Will Anderson or Jalen, at least my opinion, Jalen Carter. But
and these freaky which athletes makes, just keep making harder and harder to assess everything because you got guys who are going to go in like the middle of the first round who are putting up numbers of like typical like top 10 athletes and stuff, like a guy like Van Ness, for instance. Like
I like him a lot.
I don't see why an argument for him, like you picked him at six, I think, in a mock draft. And honestly, skill set wise, athletically, I wouldn't be mad about it. He's got really good size and speed and strength, and he was a productive player in college. Like, you know, obviously I'm not doing the finer details of scouting, but like I'm just saying there's a lot of really good athletes and freaky dudes in this draft that we can get.
And you talk about
else.
How they're all kind of in that area. That's why these mocks have been so weird, I think. You've seen Jack Campbell like at six, and then you've seen him at 18. You've seen him in the second round. Or not, I mean Van Ness.
Well, I haven't seen
Van
him at
Ness,
six.
I'm saying.
I haven't seen
at
him
at six. That would
no,
be
Van
one.
Ness, not Jack Campbell. But
I got you.
Yeah. No, Campbell, I've always, you always see him in the second round or something. But like a tight end, you know, Lions might take a tight end, but I don't see them doing it in the first round. But there's a lot of tight ends in this draft, so I see him doing the second round.
90% of Lions fans do not want to see a tight end in the first round. There's just too many horror.
Yeah, but you can't go on the pass. You got to go with what these guys need. I mean,
I know.
There are some good ones in this draft, too.
Yeah.
Darnell Washington in the second round. I'd be sweet about that.
That would be sweet.
I'm so curious about his range because he's very much more. Like, I know he could potentially be like a pass catcher because of his size and speed, but like he's very much more like an extra lineman. So I'm very curious to see how he gets drafted. I think the Lions would love a guy
that's
like
how
him.
Yeah, I mean, that's how the Lions have used their tight end. So.
And he can block. That's what he took pride in working on the blocking, but he was also a high school receiver, so he wants to catch the ball more. So they just didn't have it in that system. Like,
he just needs to develop it. That was one of his weaknesses was drops in college. But, yeah, I mean, if he's got the upside for sure to hone that craft. Like, I would love to get him. I'm just curious to see where the league rates him because of his sort of unpolished passer side and if they're just going to draft on that potential for him to develop there or catching side, if they're going to count on him to develop there.
Yeah. I mean, he had a great combine.
It seems like everyone favors the pass catching over the blocking these days at tight end. Like, I know they still want the blocking, but it's always seen as sort of like, oh, he can block too nowadays, where it used to be like, can he block? Oh, and he can catch? That's great. Like, that's why you see all these guys go so high, I feel like.
I mean, it all depends on the system that you get drafted into, like, and how they value the position.
True.
I think the Lions
wants those.
I don't think this version of the Lions and this coaching staff and the offense system they have values the tight end like they have in the past, like making it a first-round draftable position.
Which is, like, annoying because we supposedly valued it when we draft these guys and then do shit with them.
And Z,
this regime didn't.
I don't think they value linebacker as much, so I wouldn't be surprised if we took a tight end over Jack Campbell in the second round. You know, like if we got Washington.
Right.
Or something.
No, I agree with that. I mean,
like
the Lions
Kincaid,
are very.
I like
have a very
Michael Mayer,
scheme,
so. And it's different for them drafting a tight end than picking up Hockenson's contract where it was. I think that was a big part of the reason they got rid of him was the contract more than his skill.
I agree. It was just bad timing. What do you guys think? What Michael Mayer at 48? Would you be mad?
No, I wouldn't be mad at that. No,
no, yeah,
be
fine.
Really
yeah,
good.
I think I like Washington better though as an NFL prospect over Mayer. Mayer doesn't really get separation, and he's just a very good 50-50.
He's a way better pass receiving prospect than Washington.
I think the upside's higher though in Washington.
It is, but he has like I watched a good breakdown on the guy. Really like did not get used as a dynamic receiver in college. Because
they had Brock Bowers.
Running wasn't great.
Georgia has arguably the top tight end if Brock Bowers is draft eligible this year. So,
but like I'm saying, like he struggled to hold on to balls. His route running was not very developed. Like he's just not a pass catching prospect in the polished pass catching prospect. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying his upside's not there. He's just going to have to develop a lot in that realm. Whereas Michael Mayer, you're going to get a really savvy, super quick-footed route runner who is, you know, who is really good at exploiting zones, pacing, and all the nuances that go into getting open. And he's a really solid blocker too. So yeah, I mean, I like him better as an all-around prospect. Now I do agree, Darnell Washington has a higher upside, but it's also kind of a question mark in his game.
Who's Dalton Kincaid from Utah? That's the guy, like one of the top guys now. He's been shooting up the charts. But I don't think the Lions will go for one of those top guys, maybe in the second round. But there is some depth to that position this year, so they could pick somebody up later if they wanted to.
Let's be that team that just grabs a guy in like the fifth round and he turns out to be a real good pro for once instead of drafting these first
rounds. Get Schoonmaker or whatever from Michigan. You know, there you go. Alika.
There you go. That draft is like spot on. I'd be so happy. See Tyree Wilson and Elijah Kansi and Drew Sanders and Jahmyr Gibbs.
Yeah. And we could get our kicker too.
I'd be excited for that next week in our mock draft to see where you guys take Moody. Because I don't know if I will be taking him in my mock draft. Not to reveal
depends
anything
on
yet,
where.
Though. But I think we'll start wrapping up the podcast here, but I do want to, you know, highlight that again next week, early in the week. We will have our final mock draft, and then please be on the lookout next Thursday, April 27th, starting at about 7 o'clock. It might be a little earlier than that, but Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Just pay attention on there for our live draft link. We're going to be doing a live draft show, reacting to the whole first round. It's always a fun. We've done the last 2 years. It's been really fun. This year, we'll have a little extra wrinkle. I think we'll have a nice prize to give out, but you got to be listening live to the stream. So pay attention to that. We'll announce it on the next podcast. But a gift card of some sorts for NFL Shop probably will be happening. So just pay attention to that. But next podcast coming out, I think Monday we'll shoot for. They'll get a couple days for it to breathe before the Thursday. Where the draft, it's here.
Yeah.
And this year it's in Kansas City. Next year it's in Detroit. I know, finally. Fighting. Finally. And then I think the schedule comes out May 11th. And then, you know, then there's that long part of the off season.
Well, then don't we have the alternate helmet reveal coming up too?
Didn't they say like there was like something about Thursday with the reveal?
Oh, this week?
There was like a thing on at Ford Field's Twitter account.
Oh, okay.
They showed the Lion bringing in a top secret box. So people thought it was like a uniform or is it just the alternate helmets they're doing?
Just the alternate helmets. That's the only change.
Hopefully it's a blue helmet. I think that'd be cool.
And then they're doing the patch on the uniforms, which we sent blue for the 90th season of the Lions. So,
oh yeah.
I agree. A blue helmet would be cool. That a blue helmet should have been our color rush helmets. I never understood why we didn't just go all blue. Yeah,
I'd like that too.
Didn't make any sense.
Yeah, because like the Bengals do like all white, like they put the white helmets and stuff.
Or the Bears all orange. Right?
Yeah. And they look like Syracuse. Like
would you do a Honolulu blue chrome or like a Honolulu blue?
No, not chrome. That's like Kentucky. Though.
Like a matte?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do chrome.
Oh, you can do matte blue with a white lion or I don't know.
That could be really cool. Or a silver lion.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So.
But yeah, so a lot of possibilities, so we'll be looking out for that. But really look forward to early next week with our final mock draft and be on the lookout for our live round one stream. We'll be really looking forward to that. It'll be a lot of fun. It'll be a long night. A lot of Kool-Aid. The Kool-Aid will be flowing heavy that night. As it usually does.
Yeah.
But, man, you know, again, just follow us on Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Let us know your thoughts on the upcoming drafts. If you have a mock draft you want to share, please do so. And maybe we can discuss it here on the podcast as well. But thank you to our producer, Kid J. We always appreciate him.
Kid J.
And thank you to... Oh, wait, shoot. I'm sorry. Hold on. Thank you to our producer,
Kid J.
All right, my man. Shaky, rough. Sorry, Kid J. Sorry, producer. Sorry, UJ. Usually UJ leads the charge on that. He's not in the pot tonight.
Yeah.
But
you need to apologize to him. He's not here.
Yeah, fair. But man, yeah. So just look forward to all that. Otherwise, we want to thank. Oh. SidelineReport.com as well for hosting the podcast. Got to mention them. Oh, thank you for them hosting the podcast. Always greatly appreciate that. But mostly want to thank our listeners. We greatly appreciate you. We always thank you for drinking the blue Kool-Aid along with us. And look forward to tuning in next week with all the fun draft stuff ahead. So thank you everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate you. And last but not least, as always,
go.
Lions! Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain A Lions victory!
Go! Go. Go.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.